As we begin today, John, we're going to look at a video, and this was produced by one of our own. Could one of y'all in the back get those lights, please?
It was a day like any other, and then it changed, and so did we. We said goodbye to fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, children and friends, and all of the others never forget. Tears fall from heaven, landing on my face. Tears fall from heaven and cleanse this place. Tears fall from heaven, landing on my face. Tears fall from heaven and cleanse this place. Of brave-hearted men, merciful God, look down upon us, sisters and brothers, children and friends, fathers and mothers, and all the brave men. Tears fall from heaven, landing on my face. Tears
today. Four planes were hijacked by 19 Islamic terrorists. Two of the planes hit the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. 8:46 and 9:03 in the morning. Remember where you were? Bev Gladden called us at the office to let us know that it had happened. That's how we found out. We'd never hooked a TV up to our cable connection before that day. One plane hit the Pentagon, 9:37 a.m. Remember, it was reported that it was a single-engine plane. Even at the beginning, it was interesting how the spin began about things. And one plane went down in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania at 10:03. And that plane was most probably headed for either the Capitol or the White House. 2,977 Americans were murdered. 19 hijackers were dead. It was the first time in my lifetime that I'd experienced that you could put places to pray on TV and run as a byline, a mast on the bottom of the TV, and not have to hear from the ACLU. TV commentators, who I'd listened to all my life, spout their words of wisdom, their editorials about everything, from soup to nuts, and especially many comments about my Christianity, had very little to say. They were empty and bankrupt of real meaning when a real life situation came for which you had to dig deeper than the cue cards or the teleprompter to say something. There was immediate quietness amongst a number of groups in our country. There were no atheist rallies. The agnostics had very little to say to anybody. And those who seemed to have many, many opinions about getting Christianity and anything about faith in God, service of Jesus, out of the public square, they were very, very quiet and were quiet for some time. And I, for one, being a man of 47 years at that time on the planet, got to see who the real people were in our country who had the courage of their convictions and who did not. It was plain to me. I remember seeing how these spontaneous prayer meetings just broke loose. Get a goosebumps right now just thinking about how I felt the great sadness, but on the other side, knowing that for such a time as this, God had brought us as a body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who believe, who have faith in Him, had brought us to this time and this place, that we actually had something to say that nobody else was saying. How did the world change that day? Well, for us who had grown up in a country unlike any other in the world, not having to worry about when the next rocket was going to come into our country, the next bombing attack, it was going to. We've grown up in that. Just for instance, can you imagine what the average kid in Israel grows up thinking? And has his entire life. All that that false sense of security that we were exempt from that kind of attack. How soon did we forget December 7th, 1941? The world was turned upside down that day. And it hasn't gotten right since. It was turned upside down. All over the world, at that time, now, we've been hearing back channel about this or that or the other, but we weren't listening to that. But we saw militant Islam raise its ugly head. There's something every one of those 19 had in common. Militant Islam. All over the world, we saw cheering. Remember the cheering? The burning of the American flag? I thought, as I saw that, I looked around our nation, and our nation, with all the faults that we have, and let me tell you, we are harder on ourselves probably than anybody else when it comes to taking a good look at ourselves. But when we say, bring me your tired and your poor and all, we mean it and we do it. And we've done it. Yes, we've got warts in our path, and we've got paths that we feel bad about, but that is, we have a conscience about that, and we have been correcting that as a nation. Our military was spread to places all over the world. How many people who are here are in the military or have served in the military? Would you raise your hand, please? Look around you. Look around you. We thank God for you. I know this isn't the latest because there's more than this, but the latest statistics that I have is that 5,123 of our precious men and women who serve in our armed forces have died while protecting our freedom in this war that we're in. It is a war. We can't parse it another way. Almost immediately, we received from our government, the Department of Homeland Security. It's now taken over another department. And we have seen personal freedoms in our country decrease. You flown on an airplane? Flew on one right before 9/11 and right after. and you can't come back. Hey, I'm not busting on the fact of need of security. I'm just stating a fact of what has happened. That has happened. I know with a greater threat, there needs to be greater protection, and there's that trade-off. But I just want to tell you, I'm mad about that. I feel like something's been stolen from me. Our GDP has gone from 24% of the world's economy to 19%. And you say, "Well, Dusty, that's all right." No, it's not all right. Because let me tell you what these other countries who are coming in there are not doing with the world. There's no more giving country that has ever been on the planet than this one. When there's a crisis, when there's a need, the money that flows out, and the measures that you see in the newspaper where they're reporting our country did this and that, that doesn't even begin to measure all the back channel stuff that happens, all the money that goes privately to all these countries, to people. Because there's a compassion here that is based on our faith upon which this country was founded. Now, these statistics have just happened since, these go back to 91. 9/11 happened. We've already talked about this morning. 9/11 happened, and the next week, you couldn't get a seat in any church building. Everybody was there. And there are a lot of reactions to that. People came back, and they looked, and we heard stayed this morning. John, several of us stayed, and I see it. They came back to churches, and they saw the same old brand of religion that they left however many years ago, and they didn't come back. Well, let me tell you, there's another side to that. There's another side of people's personal responsibility. Me taking a good look at myself. Church attendance since 1991 in the United States has dropped from 49% of the adult population to 40%. 9 percentage point drop. That was already dropping, and then 9/11 came, and it came a little bit more. One of the few places, believe it or not, where church attendance is up is in New York City. Unchurched category in our country in 1991 was 24%. Today it is 37%. And that's conservative. One other statistic that I thought was telling, the perception of the Bible as accurate, true Word of God, in 1991, 46% of the adults polled said they thought that was true. Today it's 38. An erosion in that belief. I think we can see many of the key tenets of our faith is our culture has drifted away. The unity that we felt right after 9/11 was there, but it was short-lived. In fact, today we probably have more division in our country than has ever existed. There's a lot of division. And if you don't believe that's true, just turn on any of the news programs or read the newspaper and just see it. It is palpable. We see that our church, the numbers of churches, particularly medium to smaller churches, are going, that number is lowering. Now there's a collection into larger groups of people. But we see a church culture that has developed in our country that celebrates slick and convenient. And let me tell you, slick and convenient isn't where God is. I don't care how big your crowd is. What did 9/11 tell us about the nature of the world and the nature of man? Do you remember those news people? They were talking back and forth, trying to come to grips. They got the smartest people in the world. The smartest people they could get their hands on. Right? That's what you do in a crisis. You get them together. And they sat around these round tables and they posed these discussions about why this happened. And in most cases, tried to complicate it to a great degree. And remember, hearing this guy speak out, and I don't think he meant to do this. He said, but you know, evil is real. Duh. And remember one guy interviewing him, and he said, well, we've done so much for the... But they're trying to attack us. Why? We found out on that day very clearly there are people out in the world who hate this country, who hate Jews, and who hate Christians, and want Jews and Christians dead. Period. Christians and Jews are today seen more the same, in the same category, by more of these people. Just remember, what was his name? I've almost forgotten his name now. Oh, Bin Laden. Bin Laden. The son of a Saudi billionaire. He and Sheikh Mohammed, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, mastermind of putting all of this together, this plot, because they believe something. Radical Islam. They believe Allah is God. Let me make it clear to you today. Allah and Yahweh are not the same. Allah, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not the same. Allah is not a subset of that. He is not God. They believe he is. They're willing to give their lives for him. It is a movement motivated by hatred. Christianity is a movement motivated by they cannot understand that. It is beyond. And the whole concept of grace, that is unique to Christianity. Anti-Semitism is on the rise around the world. And we hear the old tolerance word that has come back now. And usually the one speaking the word tolerance means you tolerate everything that I do, and I tolerate nothing that you do. Right? Wrong. I mean, if you want to see it acted out, look at the United States. Let's just compare. Can you actually think that they were going to... Let's build a mosque at Ground Zero? Come on. Why don't you go try that in Saudi Arabia and Syria? Somalia? Just say, hey, I'm going to build me a meeting place for my Christian group and invite them all over right next to the mosque in town. See how that goes for you. No. There is no tolerance of others anywhere else in the world like it is here. Truly, bring me your tithe, bring me your poor. And all that motivated in the foundation of what this country is founded on, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Our founding fathers, not perfect. We are in a real world struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, on the basis of that, what about today? Today, listen to me closely. I believe it's time for us to stop fooling around with our faith. And let me tell you, real faith yields real action. I'm talking about the practical, everyday practice of our faith. Being a part of the body. Coming together, gathering together. That's real. Us being God's person at our job and in our home. That's real. Opening this book. Loving people. That's real. It's also time for us to stop compromising our faith. From every issue, let me tell you right now, politically right now, in our country, there's a lot of pressure to sublimate and say, well, you know, abortion isn't so bad. And then fill in any other issue where the scripture is very clear about the family, about what a family is, what a relationship between a man and a woman is in this country. The slide in that. If you're not careful, you get involved in that compromise and you're part of it. And you're part of the problem and not part of the solution in the world today. It's time for us to stop letting political parties define us. No political party defines me. And when you hear me make a statement about something, and probably several of you here from time to time that get a little aggravated with me about, well, he said that, well, is it from here? So what do we have our allegiance to? A political party? How do political parties make their decisions? They get into all the promises to get into office, and then what happens to the promises? Unless somebody is there with a flamethrower holding their feet to the fire. That's what we got to do. We've got to become active in the process and pray for them. It's time for us to start running toward the Lord and not walking. It is amazing this morning. Dane read these scriptures. I want to read them to you very, very quickly. My first two scriptures today, he read these this morning. You can look at them later. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, the name of Yahweh, the I am, the great I am. You know, when Moses out there, he's having the burning bush experience, and he says, but who shall I tell them has sent me? He says, tell them I am. Tell them Yahweh has sent you. That's what his name means. I am, just fill in the blank. Because he's everything. He defines that. So, the name of Yahweh, the Lord, is a strong tower. And the righteous runs into it. And it's safe. What a blessing. What a picture to see. We can run into Him. And you know, why they attack the World Trade Center towers? You know, because it is the representation of Western society. It is the representation of capitalism. It is a representation of everything in the city of the West. I mean, it's obvious. It's right there to attack that, the symbolic nature of that, and then to come back around and want to build a mosque there. That's even more so. Rub salt in the wound. Do you get it? I'm talking about stuff that really happened. This stuff is happening. It's happening all around us. It's time to run to the Lord. Not to our devices, not to anything, but run to Him. Run to Him. And say, Lord, You're my righteousness. You're my everything. It's time to start living for God 24/7. And Dane read this one too. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O Lord. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to You when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For You have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in Your tent forever, Lord. It's time for 24/7. Now, we can keep fooling around and keep saying, oh, you know, it's okay for other people. Or, yeah, it's not convenient for me. Well, let me tell you, it's coming a day when it's going to be very inconvenient for you. Very inconvenient. The time is now to start living it with the people in your life. Look at the people. You say, well, I'm intending to get around them. The people around you don't have that time. They don't have that luxury. They need your influence. They need the Jesus who is in you so they can be saved, so that their lives can be changed, so you can be the person that God has called you to be for such a time as this. Because God has allowed you to be born at this time in history, this time in this millennium for such a time as this. And finally, it's time to recognize where your world is headed. We have an appointment with Jesus. He is coming back. And are you ready? Are the people around you? I don't know when that's going to be. Personally, this is just my opinion. I really feel like He's coming in my lifetime. I'm getting ready. Are you? Are you? Let me read you this. One of the greatest pieces of literature in the world has ever been written. Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Did we see that for a brief time in our country? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as important, more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. That's what love is about. And have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's my sermonette. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The incarnation. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him a name which is above every name, so that the name of Yeshua, Jesus, every knee will bow. Let me tell you. They might have gone out into those twin towers, thinking about the virgins that were waiting on them, on the other side, but that's not what was waiting on them. That was not waiting on them. Judgment was waiting on them. And one day, all are going to bow the knee to Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, everywhere, and every tongue will confess. What are they going to confess? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's time. It's time to quit fooling around on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It's time to quit fooling around and say, well, I can't do anything about all that. But you can do something about right here, right now, in your home, in the body in which you're in, the city where you live. God has called you to be His person. It's time to engage in His body. And if God hadn't called you here to be a part of this body, get into a body He's called you to. But if He's called you here, it's time to hook up. It's time to engage. It's time to turn it on high. It's time. It's time. It's long past time. Many people are going to hell. You know, we had 11 people in one 24-hour period who had gunshot wounds. Some of them died right here in this city. It's time to pray, and it's time to do something about it for the gospel, the good news, to go forth. Not let another generation get away from us. It's time. Okay, Gary, come on. That was Gary that composed that, sang that. And he did that 10 years ago. A fellow had been a Catholic priest. Had been kind of nominal, had a head knowledge. But God got a hold of him, came to him, spoke to him, out of the book of Romans. And he found out what justification by faith, being right with God. It wasn't by the works of man, but by the power of God through His grace in Jesus Christ. That man's name is Martin Luther. He was reading the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear. And where'd you hear that today? The President of the United States read that today. Praise God. But here is the hymn that Martin Luther composed in 1529. I think it's very appropriate for us today. Hear the words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and His power, they are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask, who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. Through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Whose kingdom are you living in today? Let's pray. We're about to open the altar to come today. If you want to come and pray, the altar is open. Come in thanksgiving. Come to receive Christ if you've never received Him. Today's the day. Lord, thank You for Your presence and Your power today. We love You and thank You for speaking to us and through us today. Lord, a lot of things on our hearts, a lot of emotions today. But You are Lord over all of it. And so today, we lay it out all before You. Our hopes, our dreams, our struggles, the conflicts, the war that we are in with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, come now. Come with power. The altar's open. Like to get those cards from you if you have filled out one of the cards today. It's a basket in the back and up here. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring that this time. Send you out in the name of the Lord, and we're going to go out with a shout today with a voice of victory in Christ, the strong tower we have in Him.